This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
This is Mason Vera Payne, live from the MVP Studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. People nowadays share everything on their social media, from what they eat, where they go, what they buy. They live stream their outings, dates, and even embarrassing mishaps. You name it, they share it. But when does sharing become too much? Joining me to explain how your sharing on social media can potentially affect your opportunities is Executive Director of Research of Kaplan Test Prep, Yuriev Alfer. Thanks for joining me, Yuriev.
You got it.
Could you give me a little information about yourself? How did you get into this, like joining Kaplan?
I've been doing market research and marketing for about 20 years. And over the years, I've had the benefit of working with some incredible brands ranging from Sundance and the Food Network and HGTV and Aldo Shoes and some really incredible companies, really trying to understand why people do the things they do, why they buy the things they buy. And over the years, was doing more and more work in education and started doing work with College Board, which is the maker of the SAT exam, for example, and the AP tests, the New York City Department of Education, and with other education companies. And that just kind of brought me more and more into the education space. And when Kaplan was looking for somebody to head up market research here, it kind of seemed pretty serendipitous. So
oh,
that was
wow.
About 4 years ago and joined Kaplan then.
That is so cool. So you actually are able to see both sides of like the pros and cons of social media. You see it from like the business marketing aspect, and then you can also see it from like the individual aspect. That is a really unique perspective you have.
Yeah, and you know it's interesting. We Kaplan started asking about the use of social media. We do an annual study with admissions officers and speak to 350 or so to 400 admissions officers every year and really try to understand a lot of the dynamics around the application process, getting into college. And social media was something that was introduced into our survey with them back in 2008, so preceding me, and has seen an increase year over year with every year that goes by. And the first time we asked the question, it was only 10%. Of admissions officers who say, yeah, we look at an applicant's social media footprint. And last year that was 35%, and that increase has been fairly consistent.
Do you think that it affects their application negatively, or it's just they look at it?
So I would say all three, right? The ones who look at it definitely look at it. Of those who look at an applicant's social media footprint, 47% say, you know, we found actually something positive in there. And 42% say, you know, we found something negative in there. So it can go both ways. Kind of positive things might be, you know, we heard from, just to give you an example, we heard from an admissions officer who said, I had an applicant, a student who on her Facebook page talked about starting a business with her mom. Think of all the great things that shows, right? It shows ambition and entrepreneurship. It shows business acumen. It shows teamwork. It shows go at it. It shows a lot of good stuff. That's not something that most college applications ask you about, right? Very few of them say, have you started a business with your parents? So there was no room in the traditional application for her to include that information, but it was on her social media. On the flip side, there is negative stuff, and the negative stuff could be offensive language. It could be, you know, drinking or smoking or doing things that somebody who's underage should not be doing. And, again, those things are also not things that you disclose on a traditional application. And so I think another thing to think about there is the traditional application is still that, right? When students apply to college, your SAT or ACT scores matter. Your GPA matters. Your AP classes matter. Your letters of recommendation matter. All those things are primarily what will determine whether or not you get into the school you're applying to or funding and so on and so forth. Social media is still, you can think of it as a bit of a wild card. It's unstructured data, right? All that other stuff, SAT and ACT, it's very structured. It's numeric, and you're either doing above an average or below an average and so on and so forth. But the social media stuff is unstructured. It's something that an admissions officer can read and get an impression about you or learn more about you. So it definitely plays a role. It's not necessarily something that could maybe get you into a college, but certain things, as we've seen recently in the Harvard example, can keep you out of college. So the quick answer to your question is all of the above, with a few examples concretely on how it can play both a positive and negative role.
And you said keeping you out, and I think that's the one thing a lot of people focus on, is that, you know, it doesn't really, social media doesn't really help you. At least I haven't seen it really help people when it comes to getting in college or trying to get a job. It's usually a negative tone to it. So, but in the case of, let's say somebody did have something stupid on their social media, can't they just say, hey, you know, that's my right to say what I want to say? Can't they just like claim that?
I'm not an attorney, and I'm sure there's a rights conversation to have. What I would say is maybe it is your right. But you should also, as a student, as an educator, or as a parent, you should really be very appreciative of what it is that colleges and universities are trying to do. And very often they're trying to build a community. And when you build a community, there are a lot of things to take into account. You want that community to reflect your values, and very often that's about openness and inclusiveness. You want that community to be safe, and campus safety is a very, very critical thing. And so I don't know that the question to ask is, do I have a right to post this or not? That may be an interesting question. I think the question to ask is, are there potential ramifications for things that could be offensive or derogatory to somebody? And to be very mindful of those ramifications. And, you know, when you're 16 years old, you might be posting things because you want to get a lot of shares and you want to get a lot of likes and you want to get a lot of thumbs up and a lot of smiley faces, but you should be appreciative of the fact that there's a college on the other end of that post who's just like you're monitoring your social media footprint, right, your Facebook page and your Twitter feed and so on and so forth. Chances are that college or university are doing the exact same thing. And if they see things that don't necessarily fit with the kind of community that they're trying to build, whether that's a campus safety issue or an accessibility issue or an inclusiveness issue, they will act upon that.
Okay, so let's say like in the beginning you monitor your social media really well and you get into the college of your choice, your first choice, you know, good for you, and you decide to put something stupid up on social media. You know, will they look at it after you got admitted as well, or is it just you have to be careful beforehand?
So, I mean, that's exactly what happened recently at Harvard, right? So Harvard had just rescinded the acceptance of 10 students for posting memes that were very offensive. Pick your ethnic or minority group out there, and they were offensive to them, right? They were really, really nasty. But those students had all gotten in, right? I'm referring to them as students, right? They were accepted students. And so that was Harvard taking a very strong stand. That was Harvard saying, you know, the kind of community that we'd like to have here is not one that embraces this type of behavior. The other thing I would say that's interesting when you think of college, when you think of a college as a community, if I understand how the Harvard story rolled out, it was current students, right, that these students had posted these memes on a Harvard Facebook page, on a student Facebook page. Other students were the ones who made that, other incoming students were the ones who made that public, saying, this is not reflecting who we are. We don't like what we're seeing here. We're offended by this. It was the student, the Harvard student newspaper who published the story first. And from what we've read publicly, current Harvard students agree with the decision. So this was very much the university acting as not just Big Brother, but as a community, right? It was fellow students saying, this is not reflecting the kind of community we want to live here, we want to live in, and the university taking action against students who fail to live up to the kind of standard that they're putting out there.
At this point, they're kind of messed up. Like, they're in trouble. Not big, like, legal trouble, but, you know, their college career, did it come to an end? I mean, how do you do damage control on something that has your full name on it?
First piece of advice that we would give students, parents, and educators is be be aware. Be mindful of the fact that what you put out there matters. You may want to think about it as damage control. The first thing I would say is change your mindset, right? Sort of what you put out there was incredibly offensive, and you need to embrace and understand what you did. And you need to come to terms with the fact that you weren't just let go for, like, no reason, right? Like, these were incredibly offensive means. And so my recommendation is the first step to take is this is behavior. It's not just speech. You took action. You took action against the campus. Campus safety matters. You need to understand what you did. Sort of, I don't know that I would go as the first step as damage control as much as the first step is do you fully understand what it is that you just did?
That's true. I mean, and that's another thing, though. I mean, shouldn't they have taken into consideration that these are children? This is killer. I mean, you know, you got into Harvard and now this happened and it's going to follow you, you know. So any college you go to, they're going to be like, oh, yeah, I remember you. And that's going to be a little bit difficult. Do you think that this was a bit extreme or this was like, hey, you know, a good example for everyone else?
I think it's without a doubt this is a hard lesson. I do think, however, that, I hope that other college applicants have learned from this. I hope that other parents have taken attention to this. You're right, they are minors, but again, what they did was incredibly offensive. And campus safety is a big issue for colleges and for universities, and that touches on racial issues and sexual harassment issues and just on-campus safety issues. And so I wouldn't diminish it. I wouldn't diminish it to somebody's age. These kids were smart enough to get into Harvard.
That's true. Yeah, that is true. If you're smart enough to get into Harvard, I think you could have you would understand that you shouldn't be putting out things that offend people. When it comes down to like after college, do you guys take any surveys? Like, have noticed that maybe social media has affected job search, like after when they graduate?
No, that's a great question. You know, we don't. And when you think of Kaplan, we're very much about the kind of high school to college transition point, or transitioning to grad school and so on and so forth. Less specifically into the workforce. But I know there are other groups out there that have looked at that. I think Career Builder have a survey that they've taken and have published around employers looking at social media. And from what I've seen there is a similar kind of thing. Hiring managers say that they look at an applicant or candidate's prospects. Social media footprint, but not specifically something that we've researched.
When it comes to the applications for colleges, what happens if the student doesn't put their username up there, their Facebook page, you know? Would they Google it, or it's just like, oh, no, it's nothing's there?
It's a great question. I think a lot of schools do ask for it or make room for it, but it's not necessarily something that you do as a matter of course. I think in some cases where you might have a portfolio, like if you're a visual artist and you post stuff on Instagram or you're a musician, you mentioned MySpace in the beginning of the conversation, right?
Yeah.
If you're a musician and you have recordings up and stuff like that and you'd like to share those proactively, you're definitely going to do that. So it's not necessarily a structured part of the application. I think that component, as we've talked about, tends to be, you know, your SAT and your ACT and your GPA and your letters of recommendation and your AP classes and all the stuff that college applications have. The social side is still a bit of a wild card. It's not as structured. It's not as fixed as those other components are.
Do you think that moving forward that colleges will ask you about, like, your internet, like what you do on the internet, like, oh, where do you go, or your social media? Do you think that'll be part of the application process in, like, let's say 10 years?
You know, it may be. I don't know. It's fascinating when you think of what 10 years might mean. just 10 years ago is when the first iPhone hit I literally have a distinct memory of walking down Spring Street in the Village, west to east, by the first Apple store at the time, and seeing the line across Spring Street all the way down to Broadway, and kind of saying at that moment, like realizing what this was at that moment or what this may be, how big it was. But and 10 years is a long time. You know, the other interesting thing is today's 16-year-old, they're not just digital natives, they're social media natives. Right? For somebody who's my age, I'm not 16, haven't been for a while. Incorporating Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat and Instagram into my life was something that sort of happened as those things were introduced and so on and so forth. But when somebody is 15 or 16 years old, this is the world they were born in. They were born into a world where everything is, everything, you can take a picture of everything, you can post anything in a second, you have Wi-Fi access pretty much wherever you want to. And so how that will look in 10 years in terms of our disposition as a society to embrace the sort of sharing everything everywhere all the time at all times, I think it's a great question. I don't know is the quick answer, but it is the culture question to ask.
No, you're right about that. I didn't even think of that. The 15, 16-year-olds, they live off this stuff. It's integrated with their culture. And that maybe sooner because they have a longer history of being online. And oh God, I'm thinking in my past when the big thing was to have a journal online. And thankfully, I never used my real name. But nowadays, they want your real name, so it's going to be very difficult, I think, in the future for you to try to, I hate to say it, hide what you did on the internet because using your real name, it's not going to be easy.
Yeah, I mean, what I would say is, as much as the conversation around social and posts is, it's an exciting conversation and it's a great anecdotal conversation, what really matters when it comes to college admissions is still all that structured stuff, like your ACT score and your SAT score and your APs and your GPA. That is what admissions decisions are based on. The social is a wild card. As we've seen, it can have a positive effect. It can have a negative effect. It can have an effect that is very different than what a student might have intended to. I'll give you an example. Sort of an anecdote that we heard from an admissions officer about a student who went on a campus visit, right? Something very benign. A lot of students do that. And she's sitting at the cafeteria, and she's taking a picture of the cafeteria food, and she posts it on Instagram with a less than complimentary byline, right? As you have probably seen your share of cafeteria food, as I have, it's very easy to be non-complimentary of cafeteria, college kind of cafeteria foods, right?
Yeah.
So she will get her likes, and she will get her shares, but just like you monitor your social media and Kaplan monitors its social media, most universities do as well. And so somebody saw that and said, well, maybe the student isn't that into us. Maybe she doesn't know that we don't put a lot of money into the cafeteria because we'd rather devote as many dollars as we can to scholarships and to financial aid. But she just really made us look that maybe she's just not into us. Maybe we're like the safety school of the safety school of the safety school for her, and if we have five applicants for every slot, let's look into somebody who's really into us. Let's look into somebody who wants to be part of this community and wants to grow here and not necessarily somebody who's going to post negative images of us online. So here's a 16-year-old who did something a lot of 16-year-olds do, right? Picture, post, make fun.
Yeah.
And she got her likes and she got her shares, but she also got an inadvertent reaction from the school that she never expected would be, which is a middle-aged admissions officer saying, well, maybe this person just isn't into us. So, social media is everywhere, but it is a wild card. And in this case, it was a wild card that reflected badly on somebody who may have had different intentions when they posted the image, right? She may have just wanted to be funny, but the consequences were different.
At Kaplan, is there like a checklist for parents to go through? Like, hey, okay, so I need to know their SAT scores and their ACTs and all this, and like maybe even check their social media and scrub it clean. Like, do you guys have a checklist for parents?
Yeah, you know, we do. We have something called the CapMap, which is available at CapTest.com, which is our website. So that's CapTest.com. And the CapMap is exactly what you described. It's sort of a checklist month by month. We're actually thinking of reworking it into a seasonal checklist. So, you know, spring of junior year, fall of senior year and so on and so forth, of what you as a parent and you as a student should be thinking about, right? When should you be thinking about your FAFSA forms, your application forms, your SAT and your ACT? Which exam is the right one for you? All of that is in there. So I've heard of many and have seen many parents who've kind of printed this out and posted it on the family fridge.
I would have loved to have had that when I was in high school because I did everything, I think, a month before I graduated.
And so we hear that a lot, and a lot of people do everything a month before they graduate. And so another recommendation in addition to be very mindful about social media and what you put out there is start much sooner than you think to or need to. It's a much more onerous process than you think it's going to be. It's a very, certainly if it's your first time, it's a very emotional process too. For parents as it is for kids, right? For kids, you know, for some parents, this is a transition into becoming empty nesters. It's a financial burden. It's a big move. So there's a lot of stress associated with that. There's a lot of angst all over the process. As exciting as it is, right? Going to college is really cool. And it's a great opportunity for students to explore themselves intellectually, to explore who they are, to grow, to make friends for life. But it is a stressful one. So hopefully the CAP map, again, it's on CAPTest.com. Hopefully the CAP map can help folks sort the process out and alleviate some of the stress associated with it, because there is quite a bit of that.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate you talking about social media and how to be a little bit more prepared when going to college.
You got it. I appreciate you having me, and you know, enjoy sharing this information with you and with folks out there. I would say to folks, you know, when in doubt, leave it out. Be very mindful of what's there. And exercise a lot of good judgment.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapayne.com. That's masonverapayne.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.